Hey there, welcome to our PPC Life, a space for all to listen and enjoy. Here at Pickering Pentecostal Church, our mission is to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. We are so glad you're here joining us today, and we hope you're ready to dig into God's Word with us. God bless you and enjoy.
We are in a series in the Book of Psalms. And we are going to read together this morning Psalm chapter 5. It will be on the screen. And so together, let us read this as a church. Here we go. O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Here morning, I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. O God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. Therefore, the proud may not stand in your presence, for you hate all who do evil. You will destroy those who tell lies. The Lord detests the murderers and deceivers. Because of your unfailing love, I can enter into your house. I will worship at your temple with deepest awe. Lead me in the right path, O Lord, or my enemies will conquer me. Plain for me to follow. My enemies cannot speak a truthful word. Their deepest desire is to destroy others. Their talk is foul, like the stench of an open grave. Their tongues are filled with flattery. O God, declare them guilty. Let them be caught in their own traps. Drive them away because of their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. Amen and amen. Before you're seated, just look at somebody and say, thank God for his shield of love. We have been in a series in the book of Psalms, Treasures of the Psalms, and last week, Pastor Marie, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Marie, she brought us into Psalms chapter 6, and I am going to take us a step back into Psalms chapter 5. And my title this morning is Treasures in Abundance. Treasures in Abundance. You must know Pastor Marie is such a great leader. She was looking out for you guys, and she said, Pastor Stefan, I know that you have a tendency to go a little long. And so this morning, I am making sure that I stay within my allotted time. But you know what's beautiful is, you remember a couple weeks ago, Pastor Marie, she came back and she preached into Psalm 6, which was out of sort of order of how we were going, right? Pastor Robert preached Psalms 4, and I was supposed to preach Psalms 5. But I'm going to tell you guys something. I was not ready to give you Psalms 5 on that Sunday. I begged the Lord. I said, Lord, I have not gotten it yet. I don't know where the points are coming from. I'm not getting it. And then Pastor Marie said, hey, I've got to preach. And I said, Pastor Marie, I submit to your wisdom. Because I got it after she had preached. I got it in the weeks in between. And I'm so thankful for how God's plan works. I'm so thankful that God has a great plan for us. You see, I found three treasures that we can look at this morning in Psalm chapter 5. And, you know, a commentator, he described Psalm 5 like this. It is a prayer asking that God protect the faithful from those who commit acts of evil. This psalm is also a prayer for protection from becoming like the wicked. As David prays, he is revealing to us who the Father is. And while Psalm 5 is a prayer of protection, it's also a prayer of lament. David is sharing his heart's cry, and also he compares evil against righteousness. And as we do this, we will encounter God's treasures of abundance. And the first treasure I want to give to you this morning is there is a treasure of hearing. There's a treasure of hearing. You see, this is not just a prayer as an address. This is prayer with feeling. David, he's not just praying any prayer. He's got a cry. He's got a deep groan. And here's the thing. We love and I'm going to pick on my generation, we love to feel God. God, I just need to feel your presence. And we will run here, there, and everywhere just to feel God's presence. But God is also to be addressed. When we pray, we're not just speaking into space. We're not like other faiths. We're not like other religions where they do these rituals. No, we are praying to Almighty God. We are speaking to the ear of the Lord. God is the source of all things. He is the living God. He is the King of Kings. He is Alpha and Omega. He is beginning and the end. He is the sun, the moon, and the stars. He is the creator. He is the finisher. He is what gives everything life. Everything comes from him, and everything is because of him. That is who we are praying to. We're not just praying to some object or something. He is Almighty God. He is not just to be felt, he is to be addressed. David, he starts his day addressing the Father. He comes to God with his emotions. You see, David, he's in this tough situation. If you've read through Psalms chapter 3 and Psalm chapter 4, they're around the same time where David is going through this tough family situation. And David, he comes in and he turns to God with expectation. He expects God to respond. You see, other religions, they don't really expect God to respond. They're just doing it out of some ritual. You see, but when we come into the presence of God, when we are praying, when we are addressing the Father, we need to come in with expectation that he is going to respond. And so David not only comes with an expectation of God's response, but he comes in with boldness. It's an intense prayer time because he's being persecuted by those who are close to him. That's why his pain is so deep. And sometimes we have this weird idea that God can't handle our emotions, and so we've got to come to God and give God the, "Dear God, here I am, your servant." We come to God with these great auspicious prayers that are laid out so neatly, and God says, "I'm not looking for all that when you come to pray. I want you to come to me with your emotions. Come to me with all that you are." We some people think that we have to have the right words to pray. But here is what, look at Psalm chapter 5, verse 2. Here is what David says. "David, listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to no one but you." David is crying for help. It is heavy sobs, that emotion. David, he says, "Pay attention to my groaning," in another translation. His soul is in agony. His soul is burdened heavily by what is going on around him. And here's the beautiful thing about that, is he's also recognizing that his God is his King. And David knows that God is King. David has experience with God as his King and rescuer in tough times. You remember David. You know, David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, when David, look what he says. "The Lord who rescued me," this is David talking to Saul, King Saul, "the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Saul finally consented. "All right, go ahead and may the Lord be with you." You see, I'm talking about the author of this psalm is David. David, who was rescued from the bear, rescued from the lion, who was rescued from Goliath, who defeated Goliath, not because of anything he could do, but because of what God could do. Amen. You see, David, he goes to God. He knows that he can go to God. And yes, we know we can go to God, but guess what? Situations arise and we got to go again. Psalm chapter 57, this is David, when he's on the run from Saul. Remember the same Saul that just said, "God be with you," and David killed Goliath, and then Saul got all jealous, you know, Sometimes people get jealous. Psalm 57, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. This is David. David who knows of who God is. David who has been rescued time and time again. Even when he was in a cave running from Saul, he cried out to God and God responded. That's why God doesn't care about what we look like on the inside. It's about your heart. And here's the crazy thing. Here's what's amazing. You see, it's not just a coincidence that God knows David's heart. You see, even before David became king, it was about his heart. David was a man after God's own heart. And look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 16, even way back, the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, he's not just King, he is our Father, and our Father knows our hearts, whether it's words or groaning. He hears the cries of his people. David knows Yahweh is King, and God is so close to us that we can call out to him. And we don't just say, hey, King Jesus, we say, Abba, Father. And he hears us. Even in our groans, he hears us. When our hearts are right, God is King. And when our hearts are right, God is Deliverer. When our hearts are right, God is our hope. And our hope is to be rooted in the character of our Abba Father. Treasure of hearing, because God hears his people. He hears our hearts cry. Doesn't matter the time of day. David rises early in the morning, but listen, Fred Hammond sung it, late in the midnight hour. God can turn it around. It doesn't matter what time you come to him. He is always open to hearing from his people. Always hoping to hearing, open to hearing from his children. He hears the cries of the broken. That's why the Bible says he is near to the brokenhearted. David is in this broken moments of life again. But he knows who his Father is. Do you know who your Father is? Oh, it's about the heart. It's about the heart. The second treasure is a treasure of mercy. Here's the beautiful thing. God doesn't change. We change. But God doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It says this, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he heard David in his time of agony, if you heard David in a time of pain, he will hear you in a time of agony. He will hear me in a time of pain. He will listen to us because he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Oh, he doesn't change. Even when we mess up and change, even when we slip up and change, our God says, I am going to remain constant. I am going to remain the same. I heard David. I heard Moses. I heard Elijah. I will hear Stefan. I will hear you too. He's going to hear his people because he is the same. He doesn't change. God is over every evil in this world. And David makes this a very important point because God cannot even be in the same vicinity of evil. And that's why David, he has to declare this in chapter 5, verse 4. He says, O God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. And if you read through that portion there, David does a good job of listing a lot of wickedness. David gives us a lot of deeds that God cannot stand. It's not the longest list, but it's this list that David will charge his accusers with. The people who David is on the run from or who are against him, they can't pray to God, and, and have their prayers answered because of the evil in their hearts that prohibits God's ability to hear them. And so as I was preparing this message, because the best times when you're preparing a message is when the Word speaks to you as the one preparing the message. My God, did I sit there and go, oh boy, hold on a second. And so the same question I asked myself, I ask you, what is in your heart this morning? Oh, when the Word of God starts to cut. David is, he's painting a very clear picture for us. If you are wicked, if you are evil, if you boast, if you are a part of a group of people who use your words as evil weapons, if you lie, God cannot stand you, and he will not hear your prayers. Boy, I had to for a moment look back over my prayers and be like, Lord, I think I lied while I was praying to you for something. It is awfully silent in this Pentecostal church this morning. Awfully silent. David is saying, God, your holiness demands you not to hear them. Your holiness demands you not to lend them your ear. What is David saying to us? He's saying that we need to take a moral inventory of ourselves. You see, because God's holiness demands that we have a transformation of our hearts. We cannot expect a revival unless we repent of these things. And listen, I'm not saying that everybody in here does this, but if you like to talk behind people's backs, guess what? God won't hear your prayers. If you like to use your words as weapons that cause people to trip up and to sin and to fall and that cause your words cause them to be hurt, God can't hear your prayers. We as a body of believers, as a church, we cannot expect to see what God has for us if we are using our words to backbite. If we are using our words to tear down. Because guess what? The words that we speak reflect what is in our this is what I'm talking about. Parents, ask your students about our retreat, youth retreat, a couple months ago. We talked about the heart. The heart is the CPU of everything we want to do. If the heart isn't right, nothing else will be right. And David makes a very, very important, beautiful part. You see, David knows something. David knows that he can go to God, not because he's righteous. David isn't perfect. He's making it known that he comes to God because of God's righteousness. We can go to God because of God's righteousness. I'm going to break something to you right now. This is going to be tough for some of us to hear, but you can't do nothing to earn God's righteousness. You can't earn it. You can't give enough away. You can't sacrifice enough lambs, goats, turkeys, rams, whatever it may be. There is nothing that you can do for God to actually hear you. But the reason that God will hear you is because of his mercy that we have received through Christ. And David is letting us know that even he can't go into God's presence. But because of God's righteousness and because of his mercy, David is able to enter into his presence, and so are we this morning. David, he moves on from the fact that evil cannot be in God's presence to praying that, to making sure that we know we're not worthy. We come into the presence of God because of Jesus. Hebrews 9 verse 12, as believers today, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. There's a treasure of mercy that we see in this psalm. That's why when we come in, we fall at our feet, not just because of worship, not just because of his presence, but in surrender. When we receive mercy, we worship. And when we worship truly, we obey. Romans 12 says this, "And so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When we sacrifice ourselves, we can know the will of God, and that will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. God's mercy leads to obedience. That treasure of mercy that God gives should lead us into a place of obedience to hear and obey what God is saying to us. And that's what separates David from the wicked, is that he is obedient of God's word. And the last treasure I want to give to you this morning is a treasure of protection. You see, the world that we live in, although it may be different from the world that David was living in, it is still the world. It is still sinful. It is still sick. It is still evil. And we live in this fallen world. We are surrounded by liars, and we are surrounded by those who do evil. And it seems to be more and more each day. Every day we are watching, and we are seeing, and we are hearing of more wickedness amongst humanity. And the only way that we as believers can navigate that is to do exactly what David does, is to wake up every morning and bring every petition we have to God, and to ask God to keep us on the righteous path, not our righteous path, His righteous path. Not our righteous path. You see, when we try to ordain our own righteous path, guess what happens? We mess up. We aren't righteous enough to craft a path. It has to be God's path. We love to think that we can figure it out. I'm guilty of this because there's this thing called Google. And Google, I can type in anything and say, you know what? I've got the answer. But sometimes Google isn't right. Sometimes Google leads us down the wrong path. But how many know that there is a God who leads us on the right path? When we surrender our will to His will, He leads us in the perfect path. And David, he talks about his enemies, those who were after him. And David listed out all the things that God hates. And now he's indicting his enemies. As you scroll down through the chapter, David, he's groaning, he's crying for help, because those who are against him are speaking lies against him. They're lying and manipulating for their own gain. And the only way for David to be safe is for God's light to protect him. And David, he's using such vivid language. Watch what he says here in verse 9. He says, "My enemies cannot speak a truthful word. Their deepest desire is to destroy others. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with flattery." Now, I have never smelled the stench of an open grave, but I do know a bad stench. You know when you prepare chicken, and sometimes you make a mistake and you don't put something away quickly, and it sits out for a long period of time? That smell, that is disgusting. That is gross. You see, that's the smell I think of when David is saying that. David is asking God for judgment. David is recognizing that God is the only one who can judge. His enemies may be powerful. They may be a powerful force against them, but David's God is bigger and more powerful. You see, it is God alone who sees the heart, and David's heart compared to the heart of David's enemies. You see, God is ever present and ever watching and ever seeing, and our God is the ultimate judge. Our God, one day, He will send His Son to come back, and He will judge all of humanity. That is who David is praying to. He closes the psalm by declaring that when we live righteous, there are blessings and benefits, and we can take refuge in our God. Psalms 91 lays it out for us, and I don't have it for you to read on the screen, but I'm going to just remind you that he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. You got to read it in the King James. I'm not going to lie to you. The King James, because that's how I memorized it. The King James, boy, makes it, woo. David is asking God to judge his enemies. And as one of God's own, he can live in joy, knowing that Yahweh protects. Watch what he closes with here in verse 12. In verse 12, David writes, let me make sure I got it for you. In fact, I'm going to read it to you. In verse 12, David writes, "For you bless the godly, O Lord, and you surround them with your shield of love." There's a certainty that we have. There's a hope that we have, not just because of what of God can do, but because of who God is. You see, David talks about that shield, and it's not just some small rinky-dink shield that you have that can hold up. No, no. The shield that David is referencing is a shield that covers all around you. That word we have, that the word that's written, it translates into surrounded. That's what David is referencing. It's a joy to have a shield of God's love that is around us, protecting us, making sure that we are good, protecting us against the schemes of the enemy. When the wicked raise up their tongues against us, we can turn to the Father and say, "God, handle that." Whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever problem it is, I know it seems easy, but sometimes you just got to go to God and through your sobs and say, "God, handle it." Because he has surrounded us with a shield of protection of his love. Oh, that's why we can quote Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We can declare our trust in God, not just because of who he is, but because he has a relentless goodness that will never allow evil to have the last word. That's why Satan gets raging mad when we start taking back ground, because it's a reminder that he loses in the end, that he is a loser now. And when we lean into God's treasures, we are able to step on the enemy. And because of that, we can take refuge in God and be glad about it. We can have a joy because our God is victorious. He reigns supreme. He reigns over it all. No matter what it is you may be facing this morning, our God has the final say. He has the victory. He has never lost a battle. He will never lose a battle. There is none that can stand before him. He cannot be defeated. He cannot be destroyed. Our God is the everlasting God. He is the covenant-keeping God. He is the promise-keeping God. He is the God that says, "I have a plan for you. I will watch over you. I have got you." That is who our God is. That is who David is praying to, that no matter how you come to him, no matter what agony you have, God hears the heart cry of his people. Oh, church, you need to know this morning that there is a God, our God, who is listening. And look at what just happened all in Psalm chapter 5. David comes to God in groaning, but he's not coming eloquent. He's not coming composed. He just says, "God, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Consider my cry." Here is David, the soul in agony, bringing God to the mess. He's not coming with performance. He's just coming as a human, laying bare, and look at how he ends up. He's not groaning. He's not fighting his enemies alone. He ends up shielded, wrapped, surrounding, rejoicing. "Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever." Here is David, a man who brought God nothing. He came nothing. He just came honest. And he walked away carrying treasure he didn't earn. He was heard when he had no words. He was shown mercy when he had no case. And he was shielded when he had no defense. Hearing, mercy, protection, treasures in abundance. And David didn't manufacture any of it. And you can't either. He just brought to God his groan, his cry. And he let God do what only God can do. I want to encourage us this morning. When you find yourself in a tough situation, which you will, when you find yourself in those moments, just go to God honestly and let him hear your groan. Let him hear your cry. Worship team, come help me out. I have 8 more pages of this message. But I'm going to give you, we'll save that for another time. Here's a question I ask myself, and I ask it to you. You see, we're trying to carry so much that's already been paid for. But the question I ask is, why are we still performing, still earning, still defending, when God has already offered to us free in abundance? I want to challenge us this morning to probe our hearts, to say, Lord, you know it all. You know every situation. Handle it. Lord, I'm tired of pretending. I'm tired of performing. Just take it. So right where you are this morning, as I close, is just to take a few moments, take this time, take the next minute, and just ask the Lord, Lord, I've got this in my heart. Would you take it this morning? Worship team is going to sing. And I want you to remember that words that David writes, he's a shield over us. And that means that we are surrounded.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that today's sermon has really blessed you. If you're new here, feel free to check out our other sermons and be sure to subscribe, rate, and review today's episode if you enjoyed it. You can also stay up to date with us by following us on Instagram and Facebook at MyPPCLife or visit our website at ppclife.ca. There, you can find ways to support our ministry and invest in what we do here at PPC. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next week. God bless.